Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Man, there are so many compelling storylines with the Mavs right now. The future of this roster and Kyrie Irving and the coach and the new arena and all that. And we have a special guest joining us to talk about those topics. And of course, the NBA Finals underway tonight. The draft at the end of the month. Tim Cato, national writer for All City, joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Been fantastic. How are you, fellas?
Doing wonderful. Pumped for this finals that might be the most compelling matchup we've had in a long time. But I want to know from you, how much of a shot do you think the Knicks have here?
I think they absolutely have a shot. You know, I honestly kind of view this as a toss-up series. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be tight. You know, Wimby is the best player in the league, and that is such an enormous, massive advantage. But, you know, New York is one of those teams that can play lineups that actually pull them out of the paint. You know, they could play legitimate five out. You know, that's something that stands out. And also just the groove they're in, the way that they, you know, have been playing up to this point, and the rest advantage, you know, I think all of that works in their favor. You know, I think San Antonio probably has shown they're the slightly better, more talented team, which is a crazy thing to say about a team that young. But I don't know who's going to win. I probably would lean predicting Spurs, but I really think either team, both teams have legitimate chances.
NBA report today from Jake Fisher, quote, "I don't necessarily believe that Kyrie Irving will be on the Mavericks roster on opening night." Have things progressed over the last couple of weeks in your mind that maybe Kyrie won't be a Mav to start the season?
It would surprise me mildly, but Jake is someone to trust, someone to listen to. Good friend of mine. I actually headed up to New York for unrelated reasons tomorrow. Should hopefully see him out there. I would be disappointed if we don't get to see Cooper Flagg and Kyrie play with each other as teammates. You know, I think everybody here would be. You know, but the timeline is different. You know, his timeline and, you know, the Mavericks timeline and Cooper Flagg's timeline, you know, are not fully aligned. And if Kyrie is seeking, you know, a reset, you know, I think it's fully and 100%, you know, Dallas's responsibility to approach that honestly. And so, you know, I think we're still getting info and data points for what exactly Masai sees this team's future being, you know, what type of timeline he thinks they're on, whether it's, you know, another year or two to kind of build and, you know, not be a tanking team. They don't have picks for that, but, you know, just be a team that understands that, you know, they aren't trying to, you know, go contend next season. You know, that is a scenario where it would make sense that Kyrie Irving goes and plays for another team. And, you know, we understand the value and respect and the interest he has around the league from, you know, multiple teams that would be interested and you know, offering Dallas something for Kyrie Irving that they would really have to consider.
But this would be Kyrie wanting out, not the Mavs preferring to build going without him?
I think that's a really good question. I don't have a great answer for that at the moment. It is curious. That is something I should send I'll send a few texts about and, you know, see if I can't get back to you guys with a better answer. But that's been my understanding. But again, Masai is just so new to this role and in what he's saying about, you know, his stance and what the team is doing going forward. That it's just not entirely clear to me yet.
Do you think the Kyrie Luka relationship was so good that like teaming back up with LeBron in LA would be of interest? Is there any path to getting a deal done with the Lakers?
I think every NBA star is interested in playing in LA. You know, I don't think that is, you know, I think absolutely, you know, that's on the table. You know, or at least I guess I should say it the other way. I think that the LeBron relationship with Kyrie is strong enough that you have to note that, you know, it's certainly something that if there's mutual interest and there's mutual ability between these two sides that, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, I think there's a lot of teams in the league that would be interested in Kyrie Irving if he is available this summer.
Tim, just talking to folks around the league, you think we're getting a clearer picture of how the first nine picks are going to go in this draft, or teams still kind of all over the place when it comes to kind of getting this draft order down?
Yeah, I mean, the toughest thing with the draft is when you know there's going to be a trade-in. You know, it's just, what is that trade going to be? Who is it going to be? How is that going to affect things? You know, I think we're all fairly confident that Oklahoma City is a team that's probably, you know, they're going to do something with their picks, and it's not going to be draft, you know, players with all of them. You know, they seem like the obvious candidate to bundle them and move up. Even that in some ways, you know, we're kind of looking at, you know, Mara, the center that, you know, as somebody they would move up and go get. You know, I do agree that it does feel like there's starting to be a consensus of how this is going to go. I think that's often how it goes, but, you know, there's always chances for surprises.
Tim Cato with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What's going on with the head coaching search? I mean, we got the Sweeney news to Orlando. That was a bit of a gut punch for the Mavs. Gotten any closer to making that decision?
You know, this is the pressing question. My understanding of how Masai operates is that, you know, this is not going to linger for, you know, an eternity. This is something that is important to, you know, get settled and get checked off. And again, you look at the teams that have open head coaching positions, and, you know, none of them have Cooper Flagg. That is a very, very appealing situation. Working for Masai is an appealing situation. I think Dallas is pretty much going to have its choice of the market. You know, which may indicate that Sweeney just wasn't really on their radar. If we're being totally honest, that was sort of my impression, you know, in the past couple weeks. So yeah, I think it's coming. I don't know if we have an indication of exactly when or exactly, you know, if there's any leading favorites or candidates, but, you know, under Masai, I mean, even the Masai announcement was kind of out of nowhere. You know, there was not a, you know, days leading up to this decision. You know, this is likely to happen. It was just instant, out of nowhere. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the head coaching hire ends up looking and feeling the same way.
So you've been, I mean, when you've been on with us, you've talked about, like, this is Masai's team. He is making the decisions, and that seems to be even more clear now as we get closer to the draft. You still don't have a coach that has been hired. Like, they don't seem to really care about necessarily input there. So is this a position where if you're getting hired as the head coach in Dallas, you're the coach of the team? You're not really going to have say in how your roster is constructed whatsoever?
I think it's more that Masai is going to hire someone who is, you know, ideologically aligned with him in his decisions. You know, I'm sure that any coach, you know, in a healthy front office is going to be in the room and be willing, able to give input. But to your point, yes, I do think this is the Masai, you know, organization. I do think this is led by Masai, that, you know, he is the most influential person in the room. And, you know, that's going to be the case. You know, that's what you sign up for when you go hire someone like Masai.
It's Tim Cato, All City, with you here on The Fan. What's so wrong with the AAC, man? I love my old buildings where championships have been celebrated.
I don't know, man. I gotta drive up to the Galleria here in a minute, and I'm dreading that, you know. And I understand all the reasons. I understand that Dallas and its wealth is, you know, has gravitated north over the past couple decades. But I agree. You know, this is the Dallas is bucking a trend that exists throughout the NBA, where teams are not moving away from downtowns. If anything, they're moving closer to it. San Antonio is one of two franchises that doesn't have an arena downtown, but their new one is going to be downtown. They're moving closer to that, you know, here in a few years. And, you know, the other team is Philly, which kind of has a sports complex with, mm-hmm, you know, all three of their arenas, but that's still very close to downtown. It's about 5 minutes. Every other arena in the entire NBA, give or take a Clippers, if you want to, you know, say that, you know, there's a million downtowns in LA. You know, all these teams operate centrally, and they operate, you know, within the, you know, within the core of the city. And it's a bummer to me that isn't happening. I understand that, you know, it was not, you know, there's complications to it. Of course, they would, you know, the Mavericks would point at this and that and, you know, say, this is why we made this decision. This is why it makes sense. It still bums me out, man. You know, I just, I've always felt that arenas should be downtown. And, you know, certainly I think arenas should be accessible by public transportation. And I'm pessimistic that's going to get done, you know, that we're actually going to have a robust, you know, public transportation line that kind of connects this new location.
Hey, Tim, I could walk to the arena from my house, so I'll rent you a room for a couple grand a month.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, if you want to, man, just park over at my place and you can walk right to the arena. I'm that close about this. But when something goes in
I'll send you to the Galleria, you know? Why don't you run that errand for me after the show?
Absolutely. No, I literally grew up in that area and I live within walking distance of the new what's going to be the new arena. So, yeah, I mean it's shouldn't be a problem, but I was going to ask you though when they do make a decision like this, was this just something that was always going to happen? Was it always going to be this, or did it just, was there just so many bad feelings with what's going on in downtown Dallas that they didn't want to do this?
Yeah, my sense is that they were open to multiple options. This location and this conclusion, I think was always likeliest, but I never got the sense that the conversations about City Hall and, you know, putting the arena in proper downtown were, you know, just like running out of ground ball or just for PR. I think it was an option. I think it was something that they like legitimately considered. The problem is just that it was the more complicated option, which is why this, this location is the one that they ended up choosing.
Tim Cato with us, eighth year in a row, no repeat champion in the NBA, and now the Thunder have some important roster decisions and luxury tax threshold decisions to make. How good are the Thunder going to be next year?
It's going to be awesome. I mean, they had the best record in the league, and they were, you know, they took San Antonio to seven games despite missing, you know, their second best player and then their, you know, replacement for their second best player. Everybody, you know, dragged Chet, and after that game seven, deserved, you know, he deserved it. But Chet was never going to be, you know, his role on the team wasn't, well, you're the third option, but you bump up to second if second out. Like, he isn't capable of that. They had a player, AJ Mitchell, you know, who was designated as their, you know, fill in second option shot creator. And yeah, he missed most of the series. And so, you know, I think everything in Oklahoma City would be totally fine if they just ran it back. You know, there are going to be some tweaks around the edges. They have young players coming in, and they're going to almost certainly jettison some veterans, some that are in the rotation, like Lou Dort, I think is probably pretty likely. A lot of speculation about him. You know, some other guys who are a little bit further down the bench. You know, like there are absolutely moves that they got to make and will make, but I still see them as, you know, one of the league's best, let's say, three teams, you know, since there's two still alive and, you know, two in the finals and, you know, they were the last one to lose. So I think if you're going into next season thinking you're a top three team in the NBA, I'm not looking at my roster and thinking, okay, gotta do wholesale changes. I think they're still going to be great.
Jalen Brunson's had quite the playoff run, and as you reflect back on your time covering him in Dallas, I mean, what surprised you about his evolution as he's now leading a team to the NBA Finals?
Just that it happened. I mean, this is not what I expected from the Jalen Brunson, you know, that we saw for a few years in Dallas. Even as I was a huge believer, and you know, we saw him, you know, his ascension, his, you know, game one against Utah, we saw all this stuff and still I never would have predicted this type of scoring rise from him. What a fun player, you know, like just the epitome of, you know, he gets the most out of what he is physically capable of. You know, love that guy.
Thanks for the updates, Tim. Enjoy these finals, and we'll probably circle back around, maybe catch up with you before the draft.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
There he goes. Tim Cato, All-City National writer here with you on 105 through the Fan. Yeah, head coach hire, draft, Kyrie rumors. We have to deal with that. Man, that would be tough. Late. But, hey, if he wants to move on, then I would get it. I would understand. But, man, I think there's enough quality here on the wings and with the bigs and with Cooper Flagg. I'd be excited. But, shoot, like teaming back up with LeBron and Luka, maybe backing up Luka, maybe playing the 30 games Luka's going to be hurt with the Lakers and trying to go for a championship is more attractive to him right now. He certainly wanted to go there. Remember last time he was a free agent, he was chilling in L.A. at their games courtside.